chapter 5 together. It's where we left off on Wednesday night. By the grace of God, this Wednesday we'll start a new study in the book of Proverbs as we go verse by verse through that. And wisdom for life, that's the book of Proverbs. Wisdom for life, if there ever is a generation that needs it, we're living in that time. Wisdom, and hope you'll not miss a time of our study of that as we start on Wednesday evenings. And, you know, the great thing about just going through the Bible, it just sort of lets God speak as he wants to speak and deal with whatever he wants to deal with. And tonight we've arrived at verse number 6 in our study of this book of Ephesians. Ephesians 5 and verse 6 is where we begin reading. And as you recall, the first part, the first half of the book of Ephesians is just telling us of all of the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. It was a great first three chapters there, and these last three chapters are showing our earthly responsibilities. So sort of hitting the rubber where the rubber meets the road in our practical daily Christian life. Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." We'll stop there. God will bless the reading of his word. Would you ask the Lord to speak to your heart as we go to prayer? Father, we thank you for the truth, but Lord, we pray that it would effectually work in us as we believe it tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would help our steps to be ordered by you, Lord. You said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And I pray, Lord, for the family of God that's here tonight, that you would help us to delight in your ways, and that you would guide and order our steps, that we would have those lives that are pleasing to you and that are separate from the darkness. May the light of God shine in our hearts and shine through us. And may we live that life of light. And I pray, God, you'd keep us from the darkness. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for all the help that you give. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we dealt with all these characteristics in verse 3 and 4 and 5 that are not delightful to discuss. Last time we talked about fornication and uncleanness and covetousness. That's verse 3. We talked about verse 4, filthiness and foolish talking and jesting. We spoke of verse 5, whoremongers and unclean persons and covetous men who are idolaters. And we talked about how there's a consequence for all of that. And that is that those that do these things don't have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. But that's not the only consequence of these things. Because when you live that type of life, you make the Lord angry. And he says in verse 6 as we continue, he says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." In other words, what we need to be concentrating on or we need to be guided by the words of God. We need to be guided by the words of truth. We need to be guided by these words. But there are other words out there, and that they're the words of other men that don't know God, other people that don't love our Lord Jesus Christ, the words of the philosophies of this world, the lifestyles of this world.
And he says, let no man deceive you with vain words. And those vain words are like this. Well, you know, there's no consequence to the way you live. Those vain words are, who cares? Everybody's doing that. Everybody's living that way. It's all right. You're in the 21st century. I mean, come on, get with the program. Nobody thinks that way or lives that. Those are vain words. And the vain words that come to our ears from the world and from the devil and those that don't know our God that surround us sometimes, maybe we work with them, maybe we live close to them, maybe they're in our families. But nevertheless, they're given to vanities instead of giving themselves to the eternal truths of God. And the Bible says those people can deceive us if we're not careful with vain words, and before you know it, we'll be living like they're living. And we'll be partaking with the things they're partaking of. And we'll be at home with the things they're at home with. And we'll be living a life that's not pleasing to our God. So he says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Don't let anybody talk you out of what God's told you in the Bible. God's right and everybody else is wrong. Let God be true and every man a liar. Believe what God says. It doesn't matter if 99.9% of the population of the world believes it. If God says what he says and everybody else says something different, throw away what they say because they'll deceive you. And so God says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Be careful who you listen to. Listen to God. That's why it's so great to see a house full of people in church. Because that's where God can talk to you. And that's where the Word of God tries to make a difference in your heart and your thinking. And that's why the devil pulls people out of church. And that's why church attendance is at an all-time low. Because the devil has succeeded in taking people away from the wholesome words and the true words of God. And instead, it's been replaced with vain words. Those vain words say there's not a consequence for living this lifestyle that's displeasing to God. But look at verse 6 again. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things. What things? These things he's mentioned. Because of a life of fornication, a life of uncleanness, a life of covetousness, a life of filthiness. Because of those things, the Bible says, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You know, a lot of people think today that God can't get mad. God can't get angry. I think that's their view of God, that God's like a Santa Claus, you know. Or he's like some grandpa that, you know, could never discipline his grandkids. That's not the way God is. God has a lot of anger and wrath. If you don't believe that, all you have to do is read the book of Genesis. He killed everybody one time. He killed everything that breathed except one man and his family. You know what that proved? That proves that God can get angry. And God, the Bible says God's angry with the wicked every day. Now, how do we reconcile that with the love of God? Well, God is angry with the wicked, but he reaches out to the wicked and says, hey, I can take care of your wickedness. I can change your wickedness. I can bring you into a place of love. I can bring you into a place of righteousness. But you got to get out of this wickedness. You got to get out of this sin and come to my Son and let him change you. Because I can't help because of my holiness and righteousness. I've got to be angry with disobedience. The Bible says, for these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You know, contrast that with our verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. I don't want to be a disobedient child. Now we know in a broader sense when he talks about the children of disobedience, what he's talking about are mostly is the context of people that are not saved. Would you go back to chapter 2 and we can understand that with Scripture with Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says in verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh. Those are those things over there. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Those are those things over there. And were by nature, look at it, the children of wrath, even as others. We were children of wrath. Why? Because of these things, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. What did the Bible tell us? Jesus preached to us and said, and the Word of God said in John chapter 3, He said in verse 36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. The wrath of God is upon the children of disobedience, those that have disobeyed God. You say, well, we've all disobeyed God, yeah, but some of us have obeyed the real big commandment. And that commandment is that we believe on His Son. And the Bible says that God commanded all men everywhere to repent. And the Bible says if you don't obey God, you know, there's a spirit behind that disobedience. He says the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Why do people disobey God? Why do people hate what God said and don't want to do what God said? Because there's a spirit with that. And it's not the Holy Spirit, and it's not God's Spirit. It's a devilish spirit. It's a fleshly spirit on the inside of a man that doesn't want to bow the knee to God and submit to the will of God, even though that's the best thing for him. That'll make his life 10,000 times better than the life he wants to live. And yet those children of disobedience, because of that, they're children of wrath, and the wrath of God abides on them, and because of the things in their life, he says, the wrath of God comes upon them because of their disobedience. There is a consequence for disobeying God. Now, we understand that about lost people, but would you look at verse 7? This is where it gets important for us who are saved. We know the state of the lost world. We know the state of the heathen world. We know the state of the people that know not God. We understand they're under the wrath of God. We understand their lifestyle. They can't help but live a life of sin. They don't have Christ in them. They don't have a new nature. But the Bible said in verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't you partake of what they're partaking of. We ought to have a good enough lesson from God. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to partake in their ignorance. I don't want to partake in their evil. I don't want to partake in their darkness. I don't want to partake with them and have fellowship with them. That's the first thing I want to say to you tonight. If we as God's people are going to stay away from the darkness and stay in the light, the first thing is, he says, we cannot be partakers of the people that and the lifestyle of those that are in the darkness. Light and dark won't meet. They don't meet. They're separate entities. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Partakers, that sounds like somebody sitting down to a meal. That sounds like fellowship. Look at verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You see that? If you're in the light, stay out of the dark places. If you're in the light, don't sit down and have a good time with the darkness. I was shocked. My brother today stood in his pulpit and preached a message on alcohol because one of the independent Baptist churches in the county of in that great county, big church there, voted, independent Baptist church, to change their constitution to allow social drinking. You believe that? And you know the great thing about that? 200 people walked out. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what should have happened. Why? What business does a Christian have hobnobbing, going to cocktail parties and sitting? The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Hey, we want to reach them. We want to lead them to Christ. We're going to give them the gospel, but we're not going to buddy-buddy with them and partake of their lifestyle. That's, God says, have no fellowship. And by the way, there's a difference between befriending someone to try to show them the gospel and fellowshipping with someone, you see. There's a great difference of that. You know what fellowship is. I mean, that's where you're getting close. That's where, you know, that's two fellas in the same ship going the same way, rowing the same direction. Don't fellowship with the darkness. Stay out of the dark places. Not even a little bit. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Be not partakers with them. He said in a different way in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is what people chide us for as independent Baptists. They chide us for the fact that at least there's someone that's still around that believes in separation. And that's a dirty word, I know. People hate that word, separation. But it's a Bible word. And it's not a word of arrogance or unkindness. It's not a word of pride. It's a word of safety. You know what happens if young people start fellowshipping with darkness? You know what happens if their best friends are people that don't love God? You know what's going to happen to them? Do you understand what's going to happen to them? You understand what's going to happen to you and people you work with? If they're in the darkness, they live in the darkness, they speak of the darkness, they walk in the darkness. You understand what's going to happen to you if you become best friends with those kind of people? Do you really understand what's going to happen to you? The Bible says, if it can two walk together except they be agreed. You can't continue down that fellowshipping journey. And pretty soon you'll say, well, they're not that bad of a person. I mean, they're a nice person. I don't see anything too wrong with them. And pretty soon somebody's going to deceive you with some vain words, and your lifestyle is going to match their lifestyle, and God's going to drop the hammer because he says, I don't appreciate disobedience. I don't appreciate disobedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 6:14, very famous scriptures that nobody likes to preach anymore. But you know what? You know what this is? This church is a testimony that you can still preach the truth and live right and have standards, and people still come to church. Amen. There are some people that still love the truth. Amen. Now look, we're just getting the next verse, right? We have no. We're in the Bible. I don't want darkness in my family. I don't want darkness in my mind. I don't want darkness in my kids. I don't want darkness in the church. I want to be in the light. I want the light of God to shine. And that can't happen if I'm staying in the shadows. And if I'm fellowshipping with those that are in the shadows, you're getting a lot of trouble doing that. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, there's the word, have no fellowship, he says. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light, that's the word that's being used over and over in our passage. What communion hath light with darkness, that's the other word that's used over and over again in our passage. How can light and dark get together? They can. It's either going to be light, it's going to be dark. Have you ever walked in a room and said, hey, it's both light and dark? No, it's either light or it's dark. He says, what communion hath light with dark? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? By the way, you know why people gravitate to unrighteous people? Because they have an unrighteous heart. You know why people gravitate to people that walk with God and try to serve God and live for God? Because that's what kind of heart they want. Who are you fellowshipping with? Who do you commune with? He says, be not partakers with those in the darkness. Have no fellowship with them. He said in verse 15 of this chapter, 2 Corinthians 6, he said, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You know what's one of the most blasphemous things in our society today? God's people, people that whose bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, are agreeing with those that are doing the devil's bidding. We're not to agree with them. You don't agree with the darkness. And by the way, you'll never reach somebody in the darkness agreeing with them. They'll pull you into their shadows. For what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. What's he trying to tell them? For your own good. Oh man, first part of Ephesians, great. Heavenly blessings. All this stuff in Christ. You know what we got today? We got churches today that preaches about all the great things we have in Jesus, but won't preach the other three chapters of Ephesians about the dangers of fellowshipping and walking in the darkness. You can have everything in Christ, but if you start partaking of the things of the darkness, your life is going to be just as messed up as theirs. They're children of darkness. Look at our text again. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, he says in verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now notice what he says. He says ye were sometimes darkness. He didn't say ye were sometimes in darkness. Look at the Bible again. He says, for ye were sometimes darkness. It's not that you were just in the darkness. You were the darkness. Boy, what a description of man's heart. It's not just that man is in ignorance or man is just in sin. He is darkness. His nature is dark. His mind is dark. His heart is dark. And God says, that's the way you used to be. You were darkness. The very epitome of no light. Watch it now. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. He didn't say you're in the light. He didn't even say the light's in you. He says you're the light. He says, now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You are the light. Amen. So if you're the light, then you need to walk as children of light. You need to walk not as children of the darkness, because that's opposite. You need to walk as children of light, because that's what you are. If a Christian walks in the darkness, he's living a life that's contrary to what his whole nature is. As a saved individual, he says, walk as children of light. There are three walks in this chapter. In verse 2, do you remember that? He said, walk in love. You see that? What a great principle that was. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. But then in verse 8, he says that we're to walk as children of light. We're to walk in the light. And then in verse 15, we won't be able to get there tonight, but we will later. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. God is concerned with your walk. God's not just concerned with what's on the inside of you. He's concerned with how you walk. He's concerned with how we live. Because the only way that the light's going to make a difference in the darkness is if the children of light walk as children of light. Christ gives us light. Look at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. This is a very strange verse in the Bible, because it's written to save people. He says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. What does that mean? Well, if I'm light in the Lord, why does Jesus need to give me light if I'm light in the world? Well, if you're fooling around over there in the dark place, look at it. He says, awake thou that sleepest. You see that? In other words, you're light. The only way you can get in the darkness is shut your eyes. You ever seen those boys play, those kids playing hide and seek? And I mean, all the lights are on and everybody knows exactly where they are, but they just run over in the corner and they shut their eyes. You know, you shut your eyes. Man, I tell you what, there's light everywhere in this building, but right now I'm in the darkness, man. If I keep walking, I'm going to fall. I'm going to fall right into Larry's lap here in just a second. I don't even know where he is. But he says, you know, if you're saved, you're light, but you can go to sleep. You can shut your eyes and start thinking in the darkness and start living in that realm. You have no business fellowshipping with dark things. And he says, you need to open your eyes. You're in the light. You're not in the darkness. And God's going to give you light if you'll just wake up. How many of God's people are living in a dark place or fellowshipping with people that are in a dark place and they're asleep? They're just asleep. They're asleep to the pain it's causing them and pain it's causing others and the heartache and the destruction it's going to be to their family and to their future. But they're just asleep. They're just asleep. You know, to walk as a child of light, you've got to wake up. You know, the only people that walk while they're asleep, sleepwalk. He says, walk as children of light. But he said in verse 14, you need to wake up. Because if you start walking and you're asleep, you're going to... Some of my brother's kids walked in their sleep. Was it Daniel? Yeah, I think it was Daniel. I mean, he'd just go walk outside or walk down, you know. And back then, mom and dad had, you know, a second story. And he'd just get up and walk around, just totally oblivious, didn't even know what was going on. I tell you, that's dangerous. Man, can you imagine? I'd have to take some strong medication or something. I tell you what, walking in while you're asleep. You know what God says? God says you need to walk as children of light, and if you're fellowshipping with the unfruitful works of darkness, and if you're hobnobbing with people that don't love God, And if you're fellowshipping and if your best friend is somebody that didn't care less about the Bible than a man on the moon, you're in so much trouble. You're like walking around with your eyes closed in the darkness. And God says you need to wake up. Wake up. And the Lord will turn the lights on. What a wonderful day it was when I got saved and God turned the lights on. He let me know I was a sinner. He let me know Jesus saves. He let me know that He was the only way. And what wonderful salvation flooded my soul when Christ gave me light. Amen. But what a wonderful day it'll be for some of God's people when they'll wake up from the relationships they have that are hurting their spiritual life because they're with dark people. Man, we have a dark world. Now we have a world that you can access and fellowship with, and you don't even have to be in the presence of anybody. You can be in front of a screen or with earbobs on or something and fellowship with all kind of people that are walking in the darkness, all kind of perverts that pretend they're somebody else that they're not. And God says, you know what, you better be fellowshipping with me. And you better stay away from the unfruitful works of darkness. So the first thing he says, be not partakers with them. And the second thing he says, wake up and walk as children of light. You know, darkness, watch this. Look at John chapter 12. Get John chapter 12 and with your other hand get 1 Thessalonians 5. There's so much about darkness that is matched with waking up out of sleep. And church, I tell you what, we have a world that's totally asleep. We have a generation that has no idea what kind of foundation they're laying for the next generation. You talk about the undermining of everything our country's ever been, everything God ever intended for us to be and have. And they don't even understand what they're doing to the next generation. Total ignorance. They're asleep at the consequences. So much about darkness has to do with ignorance. So ignorance of someone that's asleep. John chapter 12, he says in John chapter 12 and verse 35. John 12, 35, look at it. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You see the ignorance? If you're in darkness, you don't know what you're doing. How many people don't know what they're doing because their life's given to sin, their life's given to the flesh, their life's given to all the other people that they have in their lives that don't know God? While ye have light, he says, believe in the light that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. He's saying there's ignorance in your life if you don't walk in that light, if you don't receive that light. Now look at, match that with 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 is a passage about how the Lord's going to come as the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. And the Bible says in verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. You see that? A whole world going to say, hey, peace, safety, everything's great. And bang, then sudden destruction comes. They were ignorant of what was coming over the cliff. Verse number 4, but ye brethren, look at it, are not in what? Darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief. You know what's coming. You've got a Bible. You've got a Spirit of God that's let you in on what's coming. This whole world is coming to a close. And the whole world is ignorant of that. Why? They're in darkness. But you're not in darkness. He says in verse 5, ye are all the children of light. You see it? And the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not, what's the word? Sleep. As do others, but let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation, we need to get something on our head so we have some knowledge and understanding about what's going on. Good night. How many a man has ruined his home because he was so ignorant as he was fulfilling himself in the darkness. He didn't know he was ruining his marriage and ruining his home. How many a wife and mother's done the same thing? Couldn't even see that she was plucking down her own house by the darkness that was in her heart. How many a young person didn't even see the future that they are planning for themselves in ruin and misery just because they're in the darkness? Making decisions in the darkness with dark people instead of walking in the light. You know what God says? Wake up. Wake up. Time to wake up. Man, would to God we could be a living alarm clock for our loved ones and for people that we love that name the name of Christ that are playing with the darkness to wake up. Get out of the dark place. Darkness is a place of ignorance. Darkness is also a place of evil. Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He said those that are in the darkness are filling their lives with evil. Look at our text there. He talks about some of that evil in very simple terms because he don't want you to know any more about it. I tell you what, some of the most evil places in the world are in some of these chat rooms. I'm talking about evil. Just evil. Darkness trying to catch a heart, catch a mind, catch a life. Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible tells us in verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame. Look at verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in what? Secret. Because in the darkness they're doing such things you don't even need to talk about. Now I know a lot of people, all the secret things are come out of the closet, so to speak, the way they say it. But I tell you what, there's a lot that's not come out of the closet. There's so much evil in our world that's done in the darkness. It would freak us out if we knew the evil that was going on in the darkness. And little kids are subject to it. And innocent people are subject to it. Wickedness in the darkness. You know what the Bible says? Don't even talk about those things they're doing in secret. Don't discuss it. Amen. You know there's some things that you ought not listen to. You know, there's some conversations that you ought never have. I'm not even going to call his name, but there's a man right now very popular in society that goes around and debates and has talks, and he's been on shows. They've had to remove him some even from shows. His mouth is so filthy, and he details such wickedness that it would defile you to listen to him for 5 minutes. You better be careful what you listen to. God says it's a shame to even talk about it. Don't even speak about what they're doing in the darkness. And by the way, you know why all these priests are doing all these wicked things? Because they've listened to secret things and dark things and shameful things over and over and over again in a confessional booth that God never intended for any man to listen to, let alone speak about. You say, well, what do I do with all my sin? You got a God in heaven you can go to and tell him anything, and he'll never be defiled over it. He'll never be shocked about it. God didn't tell us to confess our sins one to another. He didn't say that. He said, confess your faults. There's a big difference. If I've faulted you, if I've wronged you, sure I need to. I'm not supposed to confess secret things. I have seen churches get turned upside down because somebody got up and gave a testimony about how God delivered them and gave some intimate information of things they did in secret. And God says, don't even talk about it. It's a shame to even open your mouth, talk about it. Do you see the scripture? The darkness is so powerful. He says, don't talk about it. Romans 13. Darkness is a place of evil. And people need to wake up from that evil. Open your eyes. Man, have I really done that? Am I doing this? Am I looking at that? Is my life really like this? God says, wake up. Wake up. Wake up out of the evil. Romans 13, look at it, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. You see that? For our salvation, he says, is nearer than when we believe. Now watch this, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore, watch it, cast off the works of darkness. You see how waking up is connected with getting out of the darkness and getting the darkness out of you. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Hey, lost people can't do that. They don't have any power to do that. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you've got Almighty God living in your heart. You can cast off anything that's not pleasing to God by His help, by His grace. Cast off, he says, the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13, look at it. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. One of those words in 13 is so bad, I wouldn't even go into the description of it. It's so wicked. And God said, don't even talk about it. It's a shame to even talk about it. Don't joke about it. Hey, don't joke about sin. Don't joke about sinners. Don't joke about the lifestyle. Darkness is a place of evil. You know what he says to do? You need to wake up. What do I need to do? I need to wake up and let my light so shine among men that they may see my good works and glorify my Father in heaven. I need to show them the good works instead of the evil works they're doing. I need to show them a good God instead of the evil God that they're worshiping. I need to shine the light. I need to walk in the light. Darkness is a place of ignorance. Darkness is a place of evil. He says, wake up, wake up. And then thirdly, you know what darkness is? Darkness is a place of no fellowship with God. You know what hell is? Hell is outer darkness. And God's not there. You know what the truth of this Bible is? When you're in the darkness, you can't fellowship with God. You know that principle is for us even that are saved? When we fellowship with the darkness, we don't fellowship with God. When you're fellowshipping with sin, you're not. God's not speaking to you. God's not having fellowship with you. You can't do it at the same time. You can't sit down with a cup of sin and sit down with your Bible with your other hand. It just don't go together. And when we start living a dark life, we get farther and farther and farther away from fellowship with God. And the sad thing, some Christians have been so long since they've sat down at the Lord's table, they forgot how wonderful it is to be in the Father's house. They've been fellowshipping with swine and harlots so long, they forget about how great it is to be a child of the King and a child of the Father. I wonder if that prodigal son, if he just got tired of himself and got tired of the position he was in, I wonder if he got tired of not being close to his dad. Yeah. I wonder if he looked around and saw all these people and said, you know, all these people are just scum. These people are just, they were out what they could get out of me. They didn't care about me. Right. I tell you what, I miss Dad. I wonder if that was in his heart. I miss being around Dad. Dad never mistreated me. Dad always loved me, and I saw a tear come from his eyes. I left the house. And I saw Dad get on his knees for me. These people never prayed for me. These people don't even care about me. I wonder if he got to missing fellowship with Dad. You know one of the awfulest things about getting involved with sin and walking in darkness church is you just get out of fellowship with God. And that sweetness with your walk with God and that sweetness with God is not there anymore because you can't have that in the darkness. You can't have fellowship with the darkness and be in, you can't have fellowship with God and be in the darkness. You can't. And that's why hell is a place of outer darkness. There's no fellowship with God there. And yet heaven, what is heaven? Heaven's where God is. But what is heaven? Heaven, there's just light. There's no darkness there at all. And the light's always shining, and it's shining with the glory of Jesus Christ. And we'll be forever in fellowship with God, and there'll be no secret place, and there'll be no dark place. There'll be uninterrupted communion with God. And how ignorant am I and how evil am I when I let my fellowship be broken for some dark, cheap thrill? You know what he says? He said, if we walk in the light, he says, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know the context of that whole thing right there in 1 John chapter 1? It's about walking, not in darkness, but in the light, so we can have fellowship with God. He said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Thank God. God's not like me. God's not like this world. There's no darkness in him at all. You'll never hurt your life by getting closer to God. There's no darkness in him. But if we say that we have fellowship with him, listen, we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, that's our text, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, he cleanseth us from all sin. You see, that's the choice. Do I want fellowship with God, or do I want the darkness? Do I want my sin? Man, I tell you what, how much more precious is being able to hear the voice of God and fellowship with God and love on God and let God love on you and speak peace and joy and love in your heart. How much better is that than all that wickedness out there in that dark world? Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. But his love abideth ever. Through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy and the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. There's no substitute for fellowship with God. Why would I want to walk in darkness and lose that fellowship and lose that closeness with my God? He says, wake up, look at 1 Corinthians. Watch this now. 1 Corinthians 15. Darkness is a place of ignorance. You better wake up. Darkness is a place of evil. He says, you better wake up. In 1 Corinthians 15, darkness is a place of no fellowship with God. You better wake up. And you know the truth is, there's a whole world out there that doesn't know anything about fellowship with God. And he says in verse 34 of 1 Corinthians 15, awake. You see that? Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You know what the sad thing is? When I don't live my life pleasing to God, it doesn't just hurt me. It hurts all the people that could get the light from me. All those people that are out there that don't know God and don't have any fellowship with God and don't know what it's like to be cleansed and forgiven and washed. When I'm asleep and when I'm living in my dark place, my life is not being used to bring the righteousness and the righteous Lord to a world without God. He says, wake up, wake up. I'll never forget Ian Paisley was preaching over in Ireland. He was a great preacher. He's a Presbyterian. He's still a great preacher. And he was preaching about Jonah, about waking up. You know, they called him old sleeper, you know. That's what the Bible said about him. Old sleeper, just sleeping down there. He didn't care. He didn't care the whole ship was going to go down. He didn't care if everybody died. He didn't care about Nineveh. He didn't care about those people on that ship. He just was in the darkness. He had his eyes closed. He wasn't in fellowship with God. He had his eyes closed. And he was partaking of evil things. Said, what's evil? When you run from God, it's evil. When you disobey God, it's evil. God tells you to do something, go to Nineveh and preach. You don't do it. It's evil. Gets on that ship ignorantly in the darkness. Look, you think you're going to outrun God in a ship? You can't even outrun the whale he made. God says, I don't even have time for Jonah. I'm going to make a whale. You go get him. I don't want to mess with him. Just swallow him up. I'm sick of the boy. Jonah in his darkness, he's there asleep. He's ignorant. He's in ignorance. He's evil. Out of the will of God. And he doesn't care that nobody on that boat has any fellowship with God. And he doesn't care that he's not in fellowship with God. And they come down there and shake him. They said, "Wake up, old sleeper." And now I'm back to Ian Paisley. He was preaching that. You thought I forgot it, didn't you? Almost did, but I grabbed hold of it before it left. He was preaching there in Ireland. And with all the muster he'd preach, he'd thunder with his voice, towering voice of oratory. And he'd just say, "Wake up! Wake up! Oh, Christian, wake up!" And he'd scream it out loud. And in that congregation, there were people yawning and putting their head down, and little ladies with hats on just out of it, and people counting the ceiling tiles and looking around. It was dead as 4 o'clock in the morning, and here's a preacher screaming at them to wake up about a lost world that doesn't know any fellowship with God, and they could care less. You know why? Because you can sit in the church and be in the darkness. And God says, that fellowship that I want with you is that same fellowship I want with the world, but you're going to have to wake up if they're going to get some light. And he says, I speak this to your shame. Would you go back to our text? I'm not finished. He said in Ephesians chapter 5, awake, verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. What does that mean? Christians aren't dead in trespasses and sins. Chapter 2, they've already received life from God. What does that mean? Awake thou that sleepest. We know Christians can sleep, but arise from the dead. Well, think about the context. He's telling them to get away from the darkness. He's telling them not to fellowship with the darkness. You know who they're fellowshipping with? They're fellowshipping with dead people. Arise! Get away from those dead people. Get away from that dead darkness. Get away from those dead works. What has happened in their lives, all these works that he's listed in 3, 4, and 5, these are dead works that God's purged our soul from, and yet somehow they've gotten back into that old dead life. He's saying, cast off that deadness and arise and get away from it. Run away from it. And Christ shall give thee light. There's a great quote I read, one of my favorite authors to read, back in the early 1900s, August Van Ryn is his name. And he wrote this, and I wrote it down in my notes. Listen now, he said, a sleeping Christian, listen now, a sleeping Christian looks very much like a dead sinner. A Christian that is asleep to his own need and his own heart, a Christian that is asleep to the needs of others looks very much like those sinners that are out there that have never knew God. And he said, wake up. Wake up and walk as a child of light. The last thing, and I'm finished. Number one, be not partakers with them. Number two, wake up and walk like a children of light, a child of light. Number three, verse 11. If we left it there, we may be all right, but this takes a little deeper. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Look at that last four words, church. You see that? But rather, reprove them. God says, okay, don't be partakers with the darkness. Don't walk in the darkness, you walk in the light. And then he says, but the last thing I want to tell you, I want to tell you to go reprove the darkness. Because you know what will happen? If you don't just make a clean break and reprove the darkness, it will hound you until the day you die. You go to that friend that's trying to get you to sin with them, and you reprove that friend and reprove that darkness, and you keep doing that, and you watch that darkness go look for somebody else to grab hold of. But if you just say, no, I'm not going to go there. No, I'm not going to listen to that. No, I'm not going to do that. If you just, I'm glad you said that. But this admonition of Scripture is a step further. You don't just say, no, I'm not going to partake. No, I don't want your cocktail. No, I don't want that dirty life. No, I don't want to see that dirty thing. No, I don't want to go there with you. No, I don't want to do that. Not just that. You turn around and you look at the darkness and you say, that is wrong. And that's something so hard to get out of our mouths. You know what, young people, that'll help you out. Somebody tries to tempt you to sin, just look at them and say, that's wicked. Jesus don't like that.
Amen.
You say, well, they may not be my friend. You don't need a friend like that.
Amen.
Reprove it. Oh, I could never say that. Well, then you're not doing what God said. See, God does not want us to be innocent bystanders or watchers of the game. He wants us involved. He wants us to get right in front of the darkness and say, no! This is the wrong lifestyle. This is the wrong way. This, God's not pleased with this. This is evil. Oh, you mean I have to? Could I say that to my family? Could I say that to my friends? If you love them and you can do that with the right heart. And by the way, you can do that with going without going into all the details of what they're doing in secret. Remember our verse? It's a shame to speak of those things which are done to them in secret, but yet I'm supposed to reprove them. You can reprove something without talking about all the details. You say, how do I do that? Oh, you can do that easy. You can do that at work. You can do that in your neighborhood. You can do that living a clean life, and you can always also do that with the Word of life. You know, the Word of God's a light. You know what would be a good reproof? Just quote a verse of Scripture. Well, what do you think about this rock and roll song? Well, I think the Bible talks about the song of fools. I think they're fools because they say there's no God. Okay, what are you, a Bible thumper? Yeah, sort of. Oh, look at this picture. We know the Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. And the Bible, Jesus said, if you look on a woman and lust after her, you committed adultery with her already in your heart. You know what will happen? Whew, fireworks. Fireworks. You just start quoting some of those verses. And look, the Bible is a light. The Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. And look at verse, is it 13? He talks about that light making things manifest. It's the reprover. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. The Word of God just sort of shines the light on things. Oh, look, you know you're with the wrong crowd when you quote Scripture and they get uncomfortable. You know you're in the wrong place when you say a Bible verse or say a prayer or sing a song to God and those people get nervous. Get away from the darkness. Shine the light. You won't have to reprove very much and they'll get away from you unless they're interested in the light. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. How's your reproving ministry? You said, preachers, that mean I just go around and correct everybody? Well, don't be like Job's friends. They tried to correct something they didn't know what they're talking about. Yeah, they reproved Job, but the only problem was they were the ones that need to be reproved. Did y'all get that? You just looked at me a little funny there. Job's three friends reproved him a lot, but they were the ones that were wrong. Here's the moral of the story. Get your own life out of the darkness and maybe you can help somebody else. You know, you're not God's gift to the world to go straighten everybody else out. But you don't have to be super Christian to say this is wrong. And you can do it right. You know, the disciples rebuked the children and reproved the children that were trying to come to Jesus. They were wrong about that. Peter even rebuked Jesus himself. How about that? Reproving Jesus Christ. What an idiot. And you know what the Lord did? He called him the devil. Yeah. I'll match your reproof and raise you too. Get thee behind me, Satan. the Pharisees reproved the little children for singing hosannas. We're not talking about those self-righteous reproofs of others to correct everybody. We're talking about a Christian facing the darkness, and it's real darkness, it's real sin, and you need to say something. You need to speak up. You need to shine the light. But listen now, if you're not walking in love, verse 2, if you're not walking in the light, we didn't even get to, we will next time. If the fruit of the Spirit, verse 9, is not a part of your life, if you're not proving what is acceptable to the Lord, verse 10, then there's no way you can reprove anybody. Do I need to say that again? If you don't walk in love, if you don't walk in the light, if the fruit of the Spirit's not a part of your life, if you've not proved what is acceptable to the Lord, there's no way for you to reprove anybody with success. But God expects us to do all those things. And I tell you what, the right preaching will take care of most of the reproving and the rebuking. Because he says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and dark and doctrine. Let me ask you, are you reproving the darkness? Or when you know something's not right and you know something's a sin and maybe your friend says it, do you just let it go by? Or somebody you love in your family and hears the darkness and you just let it go by. Guys, listen. You can address sin and stand up for righteousness and shine the light without being ugly. Jesus did it all the time. He dealt with people's adultery. He dealt with people's wicked hearts. He dealt with people that were devil-possessed. And he did it correctly. And we can too. He expects us no fellowship with the darkness. You're walking in the light? Are you reproving the darkness? Are you awake? Or are you a partaker of things that God's very angry about? Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight.